Okay. Hi, my name is Danielle Thomas, and I've been coming to Hope and Grace for about a year now. And I had been in churches when I was in high school, and I, you know, had basically built up a relationship with God. But in the past several years, I had turned my back, and basically in the 6 years that I had been in Hoboken before I came here, I hadn't really been taking seriously finding a church because I wasn't ready to acknowledge that I needed to make changes, and so I didn't want to go through that process. So about a year and a half ago, I did a Google search and for non-denominational churches, and I found Hoboken Grace. And the first message that I came to just... It literally spoke to me that it spoke to me, and I couldn't believe how much God was trying to tell me in that 1 hour that I was in church. And so I was hooked, and I knew that I had found a new home. And shortly after that, I started going to dinner group, and what an amazing experience. Those girls mean so much to me, and they have been there so much that I can't even explain in my life, and we're able to, you know, give each other love and support, and I look forward to seeing and talking to them and, you know, just building relationships with all of them. And then I started thinking about baptism, and for the same reason that I didn't start finding a church, I was resistant. I didn't feel like I was worthy. I felt like I'm still making a ton of bad decisions, and I'm still not doing everything that I need to be doing, you know, from what I thought God had expected of me. So I resisted it for quite a while, and I prayed about it, and I finally made the decision when I realized that this is the first step. It's not the last step. It's the first thing that I need to do in order to make those changes in my life. So this past February, I got baptized. And this is kind of where my story gets a little crazy. So this is where I think my freedom started. And God started moving in my life in February, so much so. I had been dating a guy that I basically started dating a week after I had Googled Hoboken Grace. And I broke up with him like 2 weeks after I had gotten baptized. And I truly believe that God was putting this community in my life because they knew, or he knew, that I needed the support and I needed the love in order to get through a relationship that I hadn't even started yet. And then, you know, I still felt like I was making decisions that he was, you know, that God would be unhappy with, or that, you know, I wasn't meeting his expectations, and that, you know, even though he was telling me that in other ways I was making the right decisions, there were other ways that I just was failing miserably in his eyes, which is, you know, which obviously was my assumption. So when we started the Be Free series a couple weeks ago, it sounded so unbelievable to me because, you know, I've always heard the story, you know, God died on the cross for my sins. Okay, great. But I never put that next part of the piece together where, yes, he died for my sins, but now God sees me as Jesus, and he sees Jesus's pure heart, and he sees love in me. And that just, it blew me away with that thought. I mean, it's something that has resonated so much, and I want to love people. I want to show people grace, and I'm still not doing things perfectly, but now I don't feel so much the weight of what does God expect of me. I want to portray what he already does see in me. So, I'm looking forward to growing and just learning about grace more and more, because I think that the definition of that word changes every day for me. So, I don't
know. Cool. Yeah, if today's your first time with us here at Hoboken Grace, I first of all want to say hopefully you've made yourself right at home. Grab something to eat, grab something to drink. We believe that no matter where you are in your journey today, no matter where you've been, no matter where you're headed, that God is pursuing you, that God loves you, that God wants to have a conversation with you today. And today's conversation is going to be a little bit different than usual. Because usually when we come together here on Sundays, we would kind of walk through a passage and we would look at, okay, what is God saying to us? But today, we're actually going to be listening to the stories of what God's doing in the lives of the people around us, the people who are sitting right next to you this morning. Because we believe that part of experiencing God is found in experiencing the people around us. And from the beginning of this series, and this week we're wrapping up this series, Be Free. For the last 6 weeks, we've been talking about this idea of freedom. And from the beginning of this series, we said, listen, if this isn't real, if it doesn't actually change our lives, then we're wasting our time. And so today is all about how it's beginning to change lives. And we're going to walk through story after story after story, so that you can see what God's doing in the lives of the people around you. And some of these stories are going to be just like your story. And we're going to look at this and say, okay, is it possible for people to actually begin experiencing freedom? Check out Fran's story.
The metaphor that I would use was, I was trying to drive the bus and keep all of the pieces of my life in the seats of the bus, but that I was in charge, I had to give it direction, I had to follow a path, and I had to take care of all the things on the bus. And whether those be people or places or things or meals or toys or parental issues or family issues or work issues, those were all in the back of me on the bus. And the bus got really big and it started to run out of gas. And I sat down and I talked to Chris for a while about the notion of, how do I hang on? How do I, you know, keep driving? Because I think I'm going in the right direction and I love God and I want to be good and I'm trying to do all the right things. And the reality is, I don't have to hang on. He's hanging on to me. I don't have to hang on to him. And the notion of the fact that he's given us the grace of Christ's life and of his love, so that all the pieces in our lives can all fall together, as long as we have a close, connected relationship with him, is sometimes hard to process when you're wondering whether or not you're going to get your parking spot in front of your house, or you're going to close your deal, and your boss is not going to be happy, and your sister's upset because you forgot to call her, and, you know, all those challenges of the day or the workload. But when it's quiet, I feel like I'm just starting to hear his voice. And his voice always says it's going to be okay. And his voice also says, come closer. But I don't always know how. I don't always make the time to do it. And it's just a challenge, because it's a relationship that interacts with you in a way that no other relationship does. You don't have immediate feedback. You don't have negativity. You have wisdom that comes to you in silence, or you bear witness in a moment on a street corner in a day, or a friend, or, you know, the right words at the right time, or whatever it is. But it comes in moments that you have to hold on to when you're not paying attention. And that's hard when you have to pay attention so you don't get hit by a car crossing the street. Or you forgot to put the percentage sign on your proposal, or you forgot to put the extra clothes in the bin at the daycare, or whatever it is. But, you know, he's circling, because he's ready to be closer And I really identified with the discussion of God as the Father. He's the parent. He always knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the right thing to say at the right time. And he knows where to be so he can catch you when you fall. And I'm grateful for that. But I don't always express that gratitude as fully as I should. And in this idea of grace and being free, there's so much judgment for myself and for others around it. Still, and it's hard to unravel that. The peace that will come, and it's P-E-A-C-E, not P-I-C-E, I-E-C-E, that will come within me from it, and then will flow through me from it. Because I see it in others. I see it in others who are further along in their journey, and they have it. And they're just calm and joyful and humble and comfortable in their own skin to the point of they don't even really spend a lot of time in their head about their actions or reactions or tasks or to-dos. They follow their intuition and the Holy Spirit, and it moves them in a direction that they know is the right one. So that's what I'm looking forward to having myself be in that place and being able to part of the time be around others who are like that, and then part of the time being able to share that with others who don't have that.
Awesome. Next, I want to introduce you to someone that you see on stage here a lot at Hoboken Grace, as he usually walks us through silence, but you don't necessarily, many of you have never actually heard his story. And so if you guys would welcome John to the stage. And just to clarify, you know, for those of you who, you know, you've been on the website and you're looking at the staff and you're looking at, okay, who's who, you may be like, I know of a Gene who works here, but I don't know of any John. It's actually pronounced John, all right? Just so you know, in case you get confused by that. This is Gene Carlos.
Oh, and I was wondering if you were going to say that joke in this service.
Yeah.
Yeah, the joke's on me. My mom never knew that I was actually going to come to America, and Gene would not be appropriate, and American Express would continue to send mail that says Miss Gene. So I guess the joke is on me. But going back to stories and everything that we've been talking about, I'm going to try and explain kind of the series that we've been going through in the conversation and how it's changed my way of thinking or my life. And I think the best way to do that is by talking about how computers work or using that as an example. See, for most of my life, I've been part of a church or grew up with some type of church background. So this code or this processing of information and this structure has been building over the years. And how I see God and how I understand God has been built on this code, right? On everything that I understand. And as a computer, when new information comes in, right, you store it, you file it in a different section or whatnot. And when a big idea comes, there's this thing called, I think, defragmenting. It takes hours to do, but it grabs all the information, puts it kind of to the side, bunches it up together, the things that are related, so you can have more space, right? So when a big idea came, I had more space to take that in and apply it and kind of process it through the code or the structure that I had already built. But this new message, this message of freedom, of the grace that God offers and everything that we've been talking about, there's no defragmenting that can happen for me to take that in. It's actually about wiping the code. It's about me letting go of everything that I thought I understood, right? My experiences, these mental filters of how I view God and how I view the world, and seeing them in a new light. See, in the past, all these things led to me, and I'll use the Bible as an example, right, of seeing everything and understanding the world and then looking at what God said or processing what God says through those filters, through that structure, and grabbing kind of after I think I understand everything, looking here, what does it say about this? Oh, I can live that way. Check. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I suck. So this new message is about wiping that away for me. It's about God actually informing me, about me looking to Him and saying, you know what? I don't understand things. There are things about me that I don't get, and I want you to inform me. I made statements that were something like, a loving God cannot do that. Now I realize that's pretty arrogant. He says He's love. Maybe I simply don't understand what love is. So instead of processing it the old way and me saying and coming to a conclusion based on that, it's me going to Him and saying, what do you say? What do you say I am, right? And this message we've been talking about, right, we're forgiven, completely forgiven of everything we've done, right? At the beginning, it says we were all sinners, so we're all on the same playing field. Then when we put our faith in Christ, right, we're forgiven forever. We're made holy. We're righteous. He sees us in His image through that cross. And I think that's the biggest thing that's done for me is it's changing my identity, finding my identity in Christ. What does He say about me? And just to put it to the practical terms and just a little glimpse that, you know, I'm still processing all of this. I don't claim to understand it all. But a little glimpse of that was this past week at work, my boss was just not happy with me, just on my case all day, chomping, saying stuff, and I was like, okay, I can't take this anymore, why is she like this, right? And we have, or at least I think we all have kind of these built-in mechanisms that we want to please our bosses, we want to live up to their expectations, we want a great performance review, we want to make them happy. And so she sat down next to me and she was just kind of breathing down my neck and I'm like, what is this going to lead? And I had these two choices. Try and do everything to please her and probably still not be able to do it. Try and live this old way or look to Christ and understand that He has no expectations of me, that He loves me, that He's forgiven me, that I don't need her validation, that I'm new, that I can run to Him and find everything that I need. And for that slight second, the code changed. It shifted. I was able to leave that conversation not feeling down on myself or that I didn't do a good job or that she hates me or that I'm not going to get paid next week or that she's going to fire me. But understand that regardless of what happened in that moment, God loves me. God has forgiven me, and I can live in a different way. And in that, I respond to her with love. I was able to, you know, end the conversation on good terms because for that slight glimpse, I was able to do away with the old code and understand that God has something new for me and He says something different for me.
Cool. Would you guys thank John for coming?
Yes.
And I said it in the first service, and I'll say it again. I did have some questions prepared for John, but after that, I was like, there are no more questions to ask. And it's just this unbelievable story. And I wanted John to share his story today because I wanted you to see it from the perspective of someone who's been on this journey for a while. And for those of you who haven't been with us for the past couple weeks, I want to just take a quick second to introduce you to what we've been talking through. There's no way I can explain all of it. But I want to give you just kind of a little picture of it. At the beginning of this series, we began to look at this question of what it meant to actually be free. And Jesus Christ says that He came to bring us freedom, and yet for so many of us who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, our lives aren't free. And I really don't believe it matters whether you walked in here today claiming to be a follower of Jesus Christ, whether you walked in here today skeptical about this message of Jesus Christ, or if you walked in here today believing this message of Jesus Christ to be a joke, I don't believe we're free. I believe we live our entire lives based on the expectations of our society and our family and our careers, all these expectations that people have for us, and we live and make most of the decisions that we make based on those. So from the beginning of the series, we began to look at this idea that Jesus Christ came to bring us freedom and look at, okay, how does that happen? And we began in many ways to redefine the way we view God and the way that God views us and how we interact with him. And so as we began this, we talked about the fact that this God, no matter what you may have heard, is not a God who's distant, is not a God who's disengaged, is not a God who's waiting to see if you make it, but that this is a God who, from the very beginning, wanted you to be a part of his family, intended for you to be a part of his family, to be in this loving relationship with him and with those around you. But rather than valuing that family for every single one of us, like John said, we're all on the same playing field. All of us decided to step out of that family. They decided, you know what, I'm going to watch out for myself. I'm not going to watch out for those around me. I'm going to watch out for myself. And we found ourselves in a situation where we couldn't possibly pay for what we'd done. We couldn't possibly pay for the ways in which we'd hurt him. We couldn't possibly pay for the ways in which we'd hurt the people around us. And there's no way that I could make up for what I'd done to even those that I love, let alone those that I didn't care about. But this God, rather than being a God who just walks away, is a God who comes back for me and for you. And so we looked at how he sends his son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross, to take your place, to pay for everything that was broken about you, to pay for everything that would ever keep you from being able to be part of that family again. He paid for everything that I'd done to hurt people, everything that I'd done to hurt my God. But that was just the beginning. Because as we continued down that road, we realized that at the cross, it wasn't just about paying for what was broken. It was about restoring. It was about becoming new. The fact that if you were to trust him, he would actually give you the righteousness of God. This is what Danielle was talking about in her story, this idea that when God sees me, he sees the heart and the love of Jesus Christ. Why? Because at the cross, there's this flip that takes place, and everything that's broken about you is put on him, and everything that's beautiful about him is put on you. And we continued to walk through this and see that God is not a God who's waiting to see if you make it, but that when you place your faith in Christ, God is on your side all the time. And it doesn't have to do with whether or not you meet his expectations or if you live up to his standard. It has to do with what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And so we began to look at how in your life you have the opportunity to have this kind of freedom with God, to experience that kind of a relationship with God. And then as John was talking about how that freedom begins to bring freedom into all sorts of other areas of your life, with your boss and with your family and with your friends, because you realize that he loves me unconditionally. He values me unconditionally. And we can be free. And today, I want you to see how that's happening, so that you can know that not only is it something that we read about in God's Word, but it's something that's happening right here, right now. But I also today want to be really clear about something. For some of you, this isn't your story yet. For some of you here, this hasn't happened for you yet. Because you're still living, as John would say, in the old code. you're still living under the old system. You're still believing that you have to live up to some type of expectation. You're still believing that you can be good enough. You're still believing that God is someone or something else. And one of the things I love about Hoboken Grace is that every single week, there's a large number of people who are here who would say openly, I don't believe this. But for some of you, as we've been walking through this, you realize that you've been saying no to God, but it's not who God actually is that you're saying no to. It's this other idea of God, this angry, distant, disengaged God that you've been saying no to, and you're beginning to realize that you don't have to say no anymore because he's not who you thought he was. And today, as you hear these stories, I want to invite you to make this your story. To make these stories your story. To leave behind the old system, whatever system that may be, and to trust him. To trust him that he is who he says he is. That he's done what he says he's done. That you can be who he says he wants to make you to be. And to step into the story. To accept what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And to, as we've been saying throughout this series, to come home. To allow God to become that father for you. And I know sometimes when we talk about this idea of trust, it's really difficult to understand. And for some reason in our culture, this idea of trust has been really associated with feeling. And so I have conversations all the time. I just had another conversation this past week where someone will say to me, you know, I really want to trust God, but I don't feel it. I don't have that feeling yet. And every time I'll be like, well, wait a second. What does trust have to do with feeling? Faith doesn't have anything to do with feeling. Faith has to do with the decisions you make or how you act on what you say you believe. And so in that conversation this past week, I kind of walked this individual through an exercise, and I'll kind of put you in that position. I said, now listen, if I tell you that there's something terrifying behind you, don't turn around. Right? Not many of you are going to feel scared. Because based upon what you've experienced, based upon what you've known, based upon your old code, there's nothing that makes you think that there's something terrifying behind you, unless there's just someone there that you just do not want to talk to. And you're so glad right now that we didn't do the welcome today, because you're like, man, I really don't want to talk to that person. They just terrify you, right? Unless you're in that situation, you don't feel it. But faith isn't whether you feel it. Trust isn't whether you feel it. Trust is whether you turn around. And if you trust me, you won't turn around. If you don't, you will. And for some of you, you're waiting for this feeling. But as John just said, John's been on this journey for a while, and he's still working through the feeling aspect and understanding this. It doesn't begin there. It begins with you saying, okay, in the way I live my life, as I move forward, I'm not going to trust myself anymore. I'm not going to trust that I can be good enough anymore. I'm going to trust you. And the decisions that I make and the way that I live my life are not going to be based on this idea that I can be good enough. The decisions that I make and the way I live my life is going to be based on the fact that you tell me that you love me. It's going to be based on the fact that you tell me that I'm forgiven. It's going to be based on the fact that you tell me that you see me this way. And this is the relationship we have. And I may not feel like it, but that's how I'm going to live. There's a verse that we talked through several times throughout the past couple weeks. It's found in the book of Romans. It says this, it says, "For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. He's already taken care of everything." This is part of us talking through the fact that there are no more expectations for you. It's all been accomplished. It says, "As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God." For some of you, today's your day. And it's a matter of you saying, "Okay, God, I realize I can't fix this. I realize I'm broken. But I'm going to believe you that because of Jesus Christ, I'm right with you. I'm going to put this verse into action. I trust you." And today, as we got ready for today, we were actually planning to do a baptism day, but some of the people who were planning on being here weren't able to be here. And so as we got ready for today and we sat down with the team, we were like, "Okay, what are we going to do with the baptism?" We decided that we were going to set the baptistry up. And we have no idea who will be baptized today. But I want to give you the opportunity to do and experience what we see in the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, you hear all these stories. I'll read you just a couple of these verses. Acts 2:41, it says, "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all." Again, later in Acts 8:12, "But now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized." Again, Acts 18:8, "Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and everyone in his household believed in the Lord. Many others in Corinth also heard Paul, became believers, and were baptized." And so today, as we continue to walk through these stories, as you continue to hear stories about how God is changing people's lives based upon what we've been talking about, for some of you, today's your day. And it's time for you to get off the fence. And for you to decide that, "Okay, I'm going to trust him." And I want to give you the opportunity today to live out what we see in Acts. To believe and be baptized. So we're going to walk through two more stories. If you would like to be baptized today, we actually have everything ready for you back there in the back. You just go out that back door over here, and we've got clothes for you to be able to get changed into so you can be a part of this today. And you can say, "Okay, God, I trust you. And I'm going to follow." And that first step of following is baptism. You can go back anytime during the next two stories and during the last song. Check out this next story.
Well, I hear the word freedom and I go right to this word grace. And the things that I think of is how not free I am. I don't have the victory story. I don't have the end story yet. But how struck I am by the idea of being free and what grace means. I've used the word grace, but I don't think I ever truly knew what it meant. And now I'm starting to understand what it means. And when I think about historically, my understanding of Christ on the cross and what that meant about being saved, I think in my mind, I envisioned that as a finite, at the end of the story, piece. And now I'm beginning to understand how ever-present it is. And so I was not prepared for this topic. And I am so grateful I have been confronted by it. I am deeply humbled by it. Where do I go from here? I was so concerned about what I was going to say today. I'm going to digress, but then I'm going to get back. And I realized how not free I was just in my desire to meet the expectations of what I might say. And I found myself confessing to some of my church friends how ridiculous I'm finding myself going back to this place. And I wanted to go listen to all the podcasts, knowing that I hadn't heard all of the sermons and was taking notes and thought I had to have the perfect answers for what freedom means for me, and then just realizing how enslaved I am by that small, ironic exercise. This idea of grace being that my debts are forever paid. And what that means in terms of how I live out my life. Digesting that is big. And I know in my heart I am intellectualizing it, but I know in my heart I haven't accepted this gift fully yet. I know that. And I want to deeply. And I especially appreciate the idea that the motivation of grace is so important, that it's truly a gift given and then a gift extended out of pure love. It's utopia. I don't know what to say. I get it. I want it. But I'm realizing more and more every day how much I am locked and chained, and I'm not free yet. I'm looking forward to acceptance. I'm looking forward to, how do I say that right? I want to say acceptance of myself, but then it's not acceptance of myself. It's allowing me to allow God to accept me. That's the acceptance. And this idea that, as going back to the prodigal son, this idea that I could run back to him, and instead of him going and giving me that look that I know in my heart I give myself, and that I wonder if others are giving me, that those arms would be wide open. And to know that that's always, to know that I look forward to really believing in my heart that God is pleased with me and that I will no longer carry the weight of past sins, present, and future, because the weight of it is unbearable. And that's the truth. And so I look forward to shedding that weight and knowing what the possibilities of what I could do without it. And I also really look forward to extending that to others, because as long as I'm enslaved by that lack of acceptance or not allowing myself to be accepted or pleasing to God, then I hold myself back from giving that to others. this is paradoxical. This will be a paradoxical statement for you, because part of me is willing to give it to everybody else but myself. You can have grace. I will profess it. God is giving you grace. I am strongly convicted. Everyone else has it but me, on one hand. And then I will contradict myself in saying that sometimes, obviously, I don't think so because I'm struggling with extending the forgiveness when it becomes, when the hurt is hard, when the sin, when the relationship that is broken feels hard to repair. And so I look forward to being able to extend that to others, because what a gift that is. What a testimony to what God has given to me. But I will tell you, I feel like, I don't know how God will work in me in this, but it does feel like a mountain to climb. I hope I can climb it.
Hey guys, my name is Jill. I've been coming to Hoboken Grace for about 3.5 years, since there were 15 people. It's been awesome to watch it grow. And just as the church has grown immensely, so have I. I was actually raised Jewish. My mother and my father, my whole family's Jewish. And I came to Christ on my own, personal choice. On my journey, I would move towards God, and he would move towards me, and I would pull away. And, you know, it's that back and forth battle that we all kind of deal with. And not until I really started to feel the burn every time I would fall on my face did I start to really let go. And this past year has been an immense year in my life. The way that God has been working, the way that I've been speaking to him and he's been speaking to me. And you can ask any of my friends that I am a very defiant person. And I still walk around saying, I do what I want, because sometimes I just do. And that doesn't work with God, from what I've experienced. And my struggles are with an eating disorder. And that is something that is, it's dark and it's secretive. And you don't feel like you can open up to other people about that. And once I started to open up to other people, God started to work in my life, because I realized the more honest I was with other people, the more honest I was with myself, and I saw the truth behind listening to God as opposed to listening to myself. And this past year, I just got really sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I remember going into January, hearing Chris speak, and what he said was, this year can be the best year of your life. And my thoughts were, really? Because this year sucks. And I just couldn't see the bigger picture. I couldn't see where he was going with that. So the first series he spoke about balance, and you have to find your emotional, your physical, and your spiritual balance. And my struggles are all about finding balance, because I don't know how to. So he starts talking about, you know, finding balance, and I'm working on that. And while I'm working through that, I'm also working through personal relationships that I was very personally affected by, that led to a downward spiral with this whole eating disorder thing. So from there, and not finding balance, the next series he spoke about was about relationships. And all of the things that he was speaking about in terms of relationships, I was like, all right, I get it. And it was making more sense, and it was making more sense. And it was just speaking to me. Then he started speaking about prayer. And that was the series that really hit home for me. I am currently the leader of the creative team, so I get the briefs before we start going into a series. So Chris had sent me a link to Andy Stanley's church, North Point, about prayer. And I think I listened to that series for about a week straight over and over and over again because it was like the missing link. When Andy was speaking about, you know, what we think prayer is and what prayer has the potential to be, I realized, okay, you know, my relationship with God is not really moving forward because of the way that I am not communicating with him. So this whole eating disorder thing is about putting restrictions on yourself, and you should do this and you shouldn't do this, and this is good and this is bad, and so I was always thinking, well, I'm not reading the Bible and I'm not going through the Bible on a daily basis, so I'm not moving forward with God and I'm not growing with God, and it's not going to happen unless I do it. But me being the defiant person that I am, I didn't want to do it, so I just did it. So the way that this whole series about prayer spoke to me was just hang out with God and talk to God like he's your friend. And at the same time, I was seeing a personal counselor who was walking through something called centered prayer with me, which was basically about focusing your thoughts and centering yourself and eliminating the mess of every day and just being able to get quiet and sit with God. So I've got this prayer coming from Chris. I've got this prayer coming from my counselor. And then I hear God's voice because I was actually listening to both of them. And one day I was walking to work and I hear God say to me, go to a church and pray. And I thought I was nuts. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know where it came from. I didn't know. I turned around to see if it was somebody behind me who was saying it. So I listened and I went and I sat in quiet for an hour with God. And that was my go in the room, close your door and pray. And that's when this relationship started, where I realized that I need to start listening. And if I do start listening, then there will be freedom from all of these chains and all of my struggles and everything that I was never listening to God about. So I continued having this conversation with God every day on my lunch hour. And he started to reveal things to me. When I would hear his voice, it would be loud and clear. And I would have these aha moments, like left and right. And I realized, you know, from January to February to March to April to May, now we're in June, I see the way that my life is panning out because I've chosen to listen to God, to let go and let God, and to understand that when it's his will and not my will, then there is freedom. And for the first time, I feel freedom in my relationships, with my family, with my finances, and with this eating disorder that's had chains on my life for almost 11 years. So I'm just really, really excited about what God has said to me, and that I'm actually experiencing this freedom that Chris just finished speaking about.
How incredible is that? As we continue to move forward, we're going to go into this last song. We're actually going to open the communion tables on the side for you to be able to go and to remember the fact that his blood was shed for you and that his body was broken so that you could be whole, so that you could be free. And the invitation is still open. If you're here today, I invite you to join the four who've already made the decision to be baptized this morning. And to say, okay, I'm not holding back anymore. I trust you. And to step into the arms of this Father, who, as so many of us are discovering, is better than you could possibly imagine. Will you guys stand with us?